If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I am Sir Jimmy of House Nuts. Welcome to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today we are in House of the Dragon Season 2, Episode 5. Title, we are not sure what it is yet. Matt, why do you think they're holding off on the title so much?
I always get it, actually. So we record right once the show ends, and then I go and I look, and then by that time it is on max. It takes an hour. I don't know why. I'll look and see here while we're talking to see if it ends up coming up or not. But yeah, lately that seems to be the case, is it takes about an hour. It did it for season one as well. It's just the way it kind of goes. I don't know.
IMDb sometimes puts up the wrong title. It's like, are they just like, we'll guess.
Let's see here. Regent. It is up. So the episode is called Regent.
I like this quite a bit.
It says an hour and 3. Of course, that includes the credits. But man, I don't know. What do you think, Jimmy? This episode, last week was like crazy action packed. This feels to me actually like the slowest episode of the season. It feels even slower than episode 3. Obviously, there was some big stuff. Obviously, I don't want to make it seem like the episode sucked or anything. It was good. But obviously the pace was insane last week, and now it's like it's recovery mode.
You gotta recover
a little bit here.
It's like the roller coaster, right? Like you come off the big hill and you gotta take a little break and get a nice little turn, and then we're gonna throw you for a loop again. And that's pacing over a season. And then we could talk about pacing in the show, we could talk pacing in a scene. So it's always really hard to quantify exactly what slow means to everyone, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that slow is not indicative of whether it was a good episode, right? I think that this episode did a real great job of some of the heavy lifting of bringing other people to the forefront. Mainly, I'm thinking about Jace and Bayla. I thought that they were excellent. I love them together. I love them on the screen. And I was overall just really, really impressed with the amount of screen time given to each and every character. Game of Thrones had a lot of characters, obviously. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it almost feels like we're fighting for screen time for some of these characters. But the big difference is like there's times where some of our main characters in Game of Thrones would be left out for episodes. Like we would not see them for
Bran skipped an entire season.
Yeah, I wonder if he got paid. He didn't get paid for that season, right? There's no
Probably
way.
Probably not.
Yeah, I probably not. Right. Yeah. So, but it's interesting because I do feel like there's a little bit of this feeling that like we have to show almost everyone. You know, Otto's been gone for a couple episodes now, and we didn't get a ton of stuff from like Laris. Helena showed up, which was cool because she was absent.
We got I think we got some pretty important for the little bit we got of Laris. I thought was super important.
Well, that's what I was about to say. So it feels like we're vying for like those minutes of screen time for all these characters that we do have. But I thought that they were capitalized on really, really well here. This is going to be maybe a bit of a hot take here. I don't know. We'll have to see how people shake out. You know, I don't really check anyone's reactions before we come record, so I never know if what I'm saying is totally off base or not. The only thing I felt a bit underwhelmed by was Steve Toussaint's performance as Corlys. Which I've been a champion of this guy. Like I just thought he got
his screen time. I felt like they didn't really
a little rushed, maybe.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was him. I would say it was sort of the way it felt. I mean, like we really, you know, they just sort of showed him grieving, but we didn't get to feel that weight of it.
Yes.
On him, you just sort of like get to see like, oh, that is happening. But yeah, we didn't really get to feel his grieving, because then they cut to the aftermath and show the greens. Mm-hmm. And show, ooh, and which is big, and we'll talk about it. But real quick, you know, I always pull up our YouTube poll, and this is actually 60% 5 stars, which puts it above episode 2 and 3.
Well, it is on
by our viewers
on IMDb right now. It's very early, but even the other episodes didn't start out at a 9.8. I don't even know if last week's episode started on 9.8.
Yeah, but on our poll, I will say also the 3-star, 2-, and 1-star is higher than it typically is. Those are pretty much like 1%, 2%. This is like, you know, 10%. Oh,
there's going to be a lot of people saying it's boring. There's going
to
be.
So yeah, I think you're going to find this episode is maybe a little polarizing, actually, where some people really, really liked it, and some people are like it was too slow. So we'll still see, and we'll keep track.
There's people who want the lasers and the fireballs. You know what I'm saying? Like they want the explosions. And coming off last week, you know, I think the logical thing is that you can't. I mean, you could follow it up. It would be a tough act to follow. But you also want time to breathe and things. We don't want it. Remember, remember the thing, season 8? Remember whenever things weren't given the time to breathe and it was very bad. That can also, you know, be a problem if you don't have a couple of these downer episodes. But also we have to think about it like this. You know, it's a season that's split into 8 episodes. And in those 8 episodes, you really have 2 kind of arcs, right? You have the mid-season finale, which we saw last week, and we are now beginning, you know, kind of the second phase of this season. And you can tell that there are some people sliding in to the main focus. And maybe the biggest of all is Aemond in this episode.
I have another character who's beginning to, I mean, they're hinting at some things. Hugh Hammer, man. He's been there. He's been there, right? Hugh the Hammer. He looks like his role is going to pick up. So I will say, actually, and I don't think this is, you know, we try to keep it spoiler free here, but I don't think this is necessarily going to be spoiler since it's touched on at the end of the episode. I actually thought this episode would be the Dragon Seed episode. That's what I thought this episode was going to be. I thought this was going to be the episode where they, you know, as we saw at the end of this episode, again, this isn't really spoilers. I mean, technically it sort of is, where they said, hey, let's go get people to see if any of them can ride the dragon. So now this is where I was like, I know they've sort of said 4 seasons, right? But HBO hasn't officially greenlit it. They take forever to greenlight things, that there will be a 4th season. You know, it seems like that's the case now. So now I can see, okay, there are some places where they're going to slow it down a little bit, because even if you actually go to the wiki, by the way, and you look at sort of like there's like an outline that it has. And if you're actually to follow it and you go point by point, it could be like at this episode, that would be like the next episode. And so now they're actually one behind of staying on that pace. So obviously there's some things that did happen that are important here, and we're going to get to all of it. But I will say I gave this episode a 3, my lowest of the season. And for me, 3 stars is just good. It's not terrible. And for me, it's like good. It wasn't great. It wasn't amazing, right? Which is like my five star. Like last week would be a five star type episode. Tyrion's trial, Jon Snow king in the north, and the blowing of Sept of Baelor. Those are five star episodes for me. Four stars was like episode two, right? Really loved, really loved episode two. And so three, this is my, yeah, it was good.
Was yeah, for bad? Me, for me, I have it on pace.
Was it okay or wasn't bad?
Yeah, I have it on pace with episode two. I liked it a lot more, I think, than the Burning Mill episode three. That's my probably my least favorite episode of this season, maybe, of House of the Dragon. I haven't decided yet. But for me, it's a solid like 3.5, 4. Putting it into that, you know, we're building the pyramid back up to get to another kind of climax. And I really liked a lot of the character stuff. Like I said, Aemon in this episode had the, and he's had aura this
and
whole time.
And he's, and to be fair, Aemon has actually been kind of missing this season. We've thought we would actually get a lot more Aemon. I mean, after Blood and Cheese and everything. So we actually got some more of him in this episode, which a lot of his time has really been kind of small. I mean, he's had big, obviously big moments.
He's making a lot of the screen time. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, but it's like, we haven't really got a lot of dialogue from him.
That's right? that's kind of the power in his character and the performance, yeah, though. It's like him just staring at the Iron Throne, turning around, and Helena, you know, was it worth it kind of deal. And the look he had on his face, man, I was like breathing heavy. I was like, oh,
she knows. God. Yeah, she knows, man. She knows what he did and what was going
that
on.
That stare he had with the
Allison knows too, and that's to me is sort of the highlight of this episode is Allison. We'll get there. We'll start breaking down the episode here. So, and I have notes. I have outlines for the whole thing. So yeah, first scene. I said, poor Corlys. You know, I did feel it. I thought we would, like we said, I think we both thought we would get more of his grief that would really kind of focus, but it was kind of just a quick shot. And then we immediately cut to Head of Maelys.
Oh, that was brutal, bro. That was brutal.
I felt more like, ooh. And then it went in a direction I wasn't really anticipating, but we talked about it a little bit in Follow Up Friday. And I think we touched on it a little bit in our Patreon spoiler edition as well, is, you know, this dragon head, by the way, this is the dragon that is Aegon's grandmother. That was his grandmother's dragon. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Viserys's mom's dragon. That's, you know, like an important piece of the story. That's what these people view. And then we hear it, Black Omen. Abomination. And there was one person that had something that like really said it, the dragons are gods. Like that's something that is taken completely out of the story in Game of Thrones, right? Because the dragons don't exist. I mean, obviously Daenerys has them, but they've been gone for over 100 years,
becoming myth almost. And
exactly in Game of Thrones, people are like, oh, the dragons have been dead for a century, right? People haven't seen them. Right now, not the case. People view slaying the dragons, it seems, feels like almost as bad as kinslaying. Like, oh, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah,
and bad omen. And then parading it around. And then you hear them talking about it's a bad omen, and you can still see the rat catchers. Great scene. There's a lot of really good cinematography in this episode, even though, you know, the pace was a little bit slower. Also, I pointed out every time I can, Ramin Djawadi knocked it out of the park. There was so many scenes where the score was like something new and like certain specific scenes. And it was like, really, it really stood out. So I have it here as well, but I thought that was a really good camera work, right? Where you get that, you can still see the rat catchers as they're dragging the dragon head through the streets. And of course there's Aegon is there as well in the box, which we know it is. The people don't know what it is. And it's a secret. They say they also say Aegon slayed the dragon, which, you know, just
my
like
wife oh, goes,
just,
no, just he like, didn't.
Right,
that's exactly that's the point.
that's the point. Yeah. So Aegon is in secret. Then Aemond is standing there next to Alicent, and Alicent looks and also sees the dagger.
They had the dagger being on the hip, and she kind of starts putting some things together, and then. We'll get to it whenever we get to the small council scene, but I really
that was to me was the best scene, and we'll get to it. The small council was the best part of the whole episode.
I'll have to think about mine. I'll have to think about it a little bit more. Sometimes things flush out for me, or I'm sorry, flesh out.
Flush out. Jeez.
Yeah. Once again, you know, CTE. Yeah, sometimes I kind of come around on things as I talk about them too, or I appreciate them a little bit more. So I'll see what I think by the end. But to get into that Aegon armor removal scene was grotesque. And as someone who's dislocated their kneecap, like when they like tweaked his knee and it, like the, I think it was his patella, like popped back. I was like,
oh, I've dislocated my knee too. And oof.
Oh my gosh. I felt it, dude. I hated that. And, you know, I was kind of curious, like how far they would go. Cause in the books, it's like literally like half his body's melted with armor. And I'm like, okay, well, what's the reality?
I don't even think they, in the books, it makes it seem like they can't even get the armor off.
Yeah, and that's like, what I was kind of like, wondering. Like, is he going to be the Tin Man? You know, is he going to be walking around half like that? But you know what it reminded me of? And I don't know if anyone else feels this way that's listening, or you, Matt, but it kind of reminded me of Viserys in his final days.
Yeah, and I thought did a about a great shot at the end.
Yes.
Of, and his face is burnt too. Yep, they same camera work. Yeah,
it made me think, and I actually, I swear to you, this episode, I had two feelings. I had a very big like feeling of missing Viserys as Alicent looks down at a now another person in her life, a loved one that is in the bed and may not make it. But also, I kind of had a little bit of sympathy for Aegon. Obviously, his injuries are horrible. But I looked at him and I said, man, what would Viserys think of his son right now? Like, almost pitied him. And you just look at like what Viserys has left, and you're like, man, this is bad. Like, you have a crazy prince regent now sitting on the throne. Aegon is burnt to a crisp. Alicent has been rendered useless. Otto is gone. And you just look at Viserys and you're like, man, or you think about Viserys and you're like, gosh, he would be rolling in his grave.
I know. Yep. Mm. Yeah, I have Viserys had a weight in this episode too, because, and we'll get to Daemon's dreams, right? And Viserys was mentioned again. Yeah. Oh my. The Silent Sisters were standing there. We just got a quick shot of them.
They've had a lot of screen time in this show, you know, like we see them at the end of I think it's episode 6 or 7 or whatever. I think it was eight in the first season. But like they've kind of just been circling around the whole time. We hear talks about the stranger. So I like the fact that when I saw them, I immediately recognized them and knew what that meant. I was like, oh, right. No, you know, Aegon's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. OK, so then we shift gears a little bit here and we go to Daemon, and then we see Daemon quite a bit. I just have Daemon LOL written right here. Daemon is, it's the comedic relief, him and Simon Strong. Simon Strong
is hilarious.
It's hilarious. It's the comedic relief, right? Where, you know, and it wasn't this scene, they come back to them again, but we'll talk a little bit about, you know, a lot of them where Daemon is also calling himself king. He's like, do we really need the king consort part? I think we can drop that little bit. And then Daemon the Builder, he's Bob the Builder. He's literally just over there.
Mm-hmm. Just chopping wood and getting his hands dirty and having, you know, fever dream, dragon dreams of, you know, obviously banging a Targaryen woman. And I saw people in the brief opening of my phone, I saw people were upset about the incest thing. And I have two things to say about this. One, he basically groomed his niece. Okay. So this isn't new behavior. Okay. And number two, Daemon doesn't know that it's his mom until the end of the dream, in which he backs away and kind of, you know, he's like, oh. Because he doesn't know his mom. So like
which Alice Rivers brings up.
That's right. So for him.
Oh, and do I have something big about Alice Rivers?
Oh man. Okay.
Big.
Interesting, because for me.
Oh no, something's huge. Something huge happened in this episode with Alice Rivers, by the way. Okay. I just want to point it out. Maybe I should talk about it right this second. Okay.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, because I'll tell you what my point was.
So first of all. We did that Patreon episode, like massive spoiler, potential spoilers about Alice Rivers, Daemon, the whole deal. If you really want to dive deep into it, but this little piece right here is something new. Okay. The only thing I could think of with Alice Rivers, who might be like a woods witch, right? And then you see actually Simon Strong did look at her, but he didn't say anything to her. And we've had some people in Fallout Friday suggest she might literally be like a ghost of Harrenhal because Dame is the only one that really interacts with her. But he doesn't look at her. I mean, he could just look at her as in like, why is Damon looking that way? It was kind of left. Okay, okay. Very interesting. But she comes over and she starts fixing Damon's hands, right? She looks at his hand, which is bloody, right? What's significant about Damon's blood? And what do we know about witches in A Song of Ice and Fire? King's Damon's blood would be king's blood.
Okay. Okay.
Just saying, we know there's magical properties of it. I mean, if Gendry can have king's blood, and that is you want to talk about the Bane series, there is a, you know, obviously a big debate as to whether it's just simply blood magic and they're just using people that are sort of kings, because once you get into actually like, is it actually king's blood, it gets really weird, right? Because like, does Balon Greyjoy have king's blood because he calls himself a king? Right, you know what I mean? Like, it gets kind of like, does Joffrey have king's blood because he's a full Lannister? I mean, he's a bastard obviously, but he's right. it does get a little dicey and a little interesting about the whole king's blood bit. But nonetheless, like, is it actually king's blood? She's just doing a blood magic thing, but Daenerys could have king's blood. So that is kind of the interesting, you know, piece of the whole deal. But all I know is I saw her wrapping Damon's hand, and the first thing that shot in my mind is that's king's blood right there.
Okay, I like that. I like that, because I was gonna say, this was the first time, because me and you have been talking about the Harrenhal stuff the last two episodes.
Oh, for sure.
Me and you both were just like going off, and I loved it. Yeah. Like, I don't care.
What we did that. We did that Patreon episode where we went like deep into with Ez. Ez was on, and we did that like deep spoilers. I mean,
super fun. Yeah,
pure tinfoil theories out there. Yeah,
it was a lot of fun, and I've been enjoying those scenes. But this episode, I felt like there wasn't enough to dig my teeth into. Maybe I'm getting a little spoiled with all of the crazy tinfoil stuff, and it's fun. Though the Riverlands stuff, I actually quite like. I think getting them involved, like, there's one thing about this episode that we've had hints of. We went to Winterfell. We've heard of other houses. But, Matt, we went to a lot of places this episode.
We did.
Twins?
We went to the Vale.
We had the River Lords coming in.
By the way, what was up with that weird table?
The Fraser fucking
it was just weird. I don't know. I mean,
I kind of loved it because it's such.
But it was just
the Fraser just suck. Like,
I mean, it's just an odd table. Yeah, I mean, like,
it is haircut. Like, it's terrible.
And just the physical table was weird. It was just like, how would you even sit and eat at that thing? Right. It's got like all these different like corners and stuff on it. And it took me out of the seat. And I was like, and I thought it was meant to be like filmed kind of awkwardly, cause they do like the shot of Jace and they go to them.
Oh yeah. Right? I definitely felt that way.
I mean, that was definitely an intent, but the table itself seemed, it just seemed really freaking weird. I'm like, what the fuck is this thing? I don't know why, but
you know, this is an episode where we got to see a lot of different locations, and being back, that veil shot. Oh,
great.
I loved it.
I will say it felt different.
It looked
different.
Yeah, well, than... I was a little disappointed they didn't show the little throne room or whatever, you know? Like, I kind of
like the moon door and stuff. Yeah, I mean, I will say, because I was like, I know we're in the Vale because I know like who these characters are. And then they said like the Bloody Gate and stuff like that. But it did, I don't know, because I'll have to look at it, but the castle did. To me, at first, it's been a long time since I've really looked at season one.
Yeah, we'd have to go back and look. Yeah.
Go back and look, but it at least just on initial glance looked like different. But I mean, there is time.
Yeah, there's a ton. There's
We don't know how much renovations and stuff have been made to the Vale since. But or maybe I'm just so familiar with seeing like the fan art where it's much more, you know, point.
Oh,
so maybe that's what's kind of influencing me. But it felt different. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought that scene, that was one of those scenes where I was like, okay, that happened. Like, I know I'm supposed to make a note of it. I have a feeling we know where we're going with that, even though it's spoiler territory, right. So we can't really discuss it. But like,
I might have moved that scene.
Yeah, it just, I don't know.
I think the point of it, I think the point of that scene was to stack on top of Jace and Damon, and that everyone's making decisions for Rhaenyra. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they actually, this episode was a little ambitious, to be honest. Like, they tried to do a lot of things like thematically. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's another reason why I gave it a 3 out of stars. I was like, I felt like they tried to do like maybe too much. Like, because it was like, we're supposed to feel the grief of Rhaenys, which we didn't kind of feel. It felt like it happened, right? I felt like that should have overcast the thing a little bit more.
Yeah.
To really kind of showcase just how big this was. And then, mm-hmm. like, we got the stuff with Aemon and stuff, and instead they focus it on Alicent, which actually was my favorite shot of the whole episode. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about that as well here. And then, like, we were also dealing with, like, Aemon versus Aegon's extension. I mean, there was a lot of just moving pieces and, like, general themes to this episode as well. So maybe that's another reason why I was kind of like, I felt like maybe they tried to do too much, and so things didn't hit as hard.
Yeah. I mean, also, like,
so much. There was kind of, honestly, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, yeah. And you had to set up.
Might have been too much. There might have been too much going on. And this actually is a break from, like, the story. Like, I mean, this is, like, if you actually go look at the things, this is, like, almost, I mean, I don't want to say filler, because it is points that are told in the story. But, I mean, this is, like,
yeah, this is crucial for the beginning of the next phase of these character arcs and bringing Jace, Baela to the forefront, getting, you know, mm-hmm. to see these other places in Westeros. And one really important thing that this does, even
Tumbleton
was mentioned, which was cool. But one thing that you do get whenever you show the veil or wherever, right? Even if the scene I thought was a little too quick. What you do get is a sense that there are, you know, lords and other people out in the realm who are so far away from King's Landing. They know that there's a war coming, like they understand it, but they have their own wants and needs as well. They have their own motivations. And what that does, it makes the world feel a lot bigger to me, at least. For sure. It makes the world feel alive. So there is value in what they were doing in the veil. And obviously we also, you know, just seeing characters that we know of. So I think that's important, but yeah, it is I think it's an ambitious show, to be honest.
Oh, it is
in definitely. General, you know,
but I just, this might be the most ambitious episode of this season.
Yeah. And let's think about this real quick. I agree with you. I don't think that the Rhaenys fallout was enough for me. Some people might disagree, but think about this. And I don't know where you are with this, but I think episode 2 is better than episode 1. And that's ironic because Blood and Cheese happens in episode 1, but the fallout of Blood and Cheese is where you both were like,
it changed our opinion on Blood and Cheese, because we got to see why they made the decisions that they made. And again, actually, just like we said in Follow Up Friday and stuff like that, mm-hmm. is we also get to see it now here too. Now in the books, it is the same thing happens where Aemon does take over while Aegon is injured. But here you feel that weight of it a little bit more because they didn't have the other son.
He's
the
other son doesn't. Yeah,
exactly. Otherwise, the other son would be, and he's gone. So now it is Aemon even more. And because mm-hmm. Aemon is the one who also attacked sort of Aegon, or, you know, it's just like, well, man. You're friendly fire. Sorry, man. Literally friendly fire. You're just in the. I mean, you're there. What do you want me to do? I was taking out the enemy mm-hmm. is what it is. So yeah, you do feel that a little bit more. So I want to talk a little bit about the council. Cause to me, that was the part where I was like, I think that was like the most mm-hmm. standout scene for me. So, and the big one is, you know, they're talking about who should take over, and immediately you begin to see the look on Larys's face, like even before he starts to say, like, I think it should be Aemon, you can tell he knows he's going to disappoint Alicent, which was very telling, because that felt genuine, because you could tell that his tone and everything shifted even before he actually, because he says one line and I can't remember what, and then it goes to somebody else and stuff like that. But I knew that Larys is going to be part of the one saying, the whole deal is if we try to prop up a woman, that really doesn't work, considering we said Rhaenyra shouldn't take it because she's a woman. So I try to pull up the episode and just listen to the line he says before, but I could immediately tell. So that actually felt like genuine to me. Not even just Laris, who is a, you know, supposed to be like a Varys or a Baelish, ultimately playing the Game of Thrones. To me, that actually felt like pretty genuine. Like he is actually like, I'm sorry, but it's just the way it's got to be.
Yeah. And I mean, the council also just basically turned to Allison being like, you're a woman. We're fighting against a woman inheriting right now. What are you talking about? And I was just like, ooh. And there was a lot about that, like the patriarchy in this episode, because also, and I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but just to kind of connect it, right? We're seeing Rhaenyra wrestle with the fact of being the queen.
Yeah, they did. There was a dynamic between them.
And Baela, when Corlys basically tries to one up, you know, because she's saying, I'm with Rhaenyra. And he's like, I will make you my heir. And she's like, no.
Fire and blood. Loved that line. I am blood and fire, not salt and smoke.
Great. And I was like, dude, that is like, and but you see how like there's like this connective tissue between those scenes. And I think that's
finally she's getting some time to shine, which is great.
I mean, that, so honestly, for me, my favorite parts of the episode were like Jason Baela. Like, I just love, I actually like them on screen together too.
Yeah.
Like,
great chemistry. And we really haven't seen much of them.
But this council, together. You're right, though. This council is really amazing. Like, this is probably actually the best scene. You know, I just have a bias for Baela and Jace for some reason. But
well, to me, the shot that made the whole thing was, and we've talked about this, right? Allison in the books from this point on isn't really mentioned a whole lot. Like, the whole narrative shifts to like Aemon and Aegon, and Allison. Yeah, I mean, literally, like, even in the books, like, going for, I mean, it's crazy because it feels like the whole deal is supposed to be Allison versus Rhaenyra. But I mean, kind of going, I mean, literally, like, this is the moment where she steps out of the spotlight, even in the books.
Yes. And me and you wondered, we were like, okay, like, they're obviously not just going to kick her to the curb.
I will say, I loved that shot of her, and it's the slow camera pan in. And Allison's just sitting there, and you can, and it's just her face, and you can hear everyone talking, and they start to fade the audio out a little bit and muffle it. And it's just, so you're just sort of focusing in on her emotions. I thought that shot like was freaking amazing. So good, so powerful. And that was, and then there's another camera shot I picked up on too that I'll talk about later. But that to me was like the whole episode. I was just like, that shot is so good.
Yes.
Cause you really feel it. Like, you feel Allison is beginning to realize like, oh, I'm, cause I think about her position now too. Think about where Allison is now. She, like, her whole story, literally, in a way, it doesn't end here. I mean, obviously it goes on in the episodes, but in the books, I mean, literally this is the moment where it's like, she sorts of, the narrative, like, just focuses on everybody else. Too. Yeah. And we won't spoil what happens to her, of course, but I mean, it's like she takes a break in the books, like right here. I mean she does things, of course, and then her story continues, and I'm not going to spoil it, but I mean, but it's like, up until this point, the entire story in the books is Allison Rhaenyra, Allison Rhaenyra, Allison Rhaenyra, and then it shifts, and now it's Rhaenyra, Aemon and Aegon, and you know, and it's, she kind of falls off, and I thought they did a great way of doing that here too. And you think about, I mean, she has been the focal point of this whole show, her and Rhaenyra. And, you know, now you look at her struggle, the whole deal, right? She's basically forced by her father to go marry King Viserys, who she doesn't want to marry. He's way older than her. She's has kids with him. She loses her best friend Rhaenyra, right? Mm-hmm. From something that she ultimately didn't even want to do. Then, like, her son gets his eye cut out. She's trying to tell Viserys, hey, like, her kids are bastards. My son just lost his eye. Your son just lost his eye over this lie, this fabrication that they're having. You know, he dies, right? And then they have to ascend with Kristen Cole. And even, like, blood and cheese is her fault in a way, right? Because she's there. And
she's made a lot of bad moves herself. Like
right. She's made absolutely. But all of that stuff leads literally to this like one camera shot. Mm. And now it's all out of her hands. It's all out of her hands now.
And she thought Kristen Cole was in her hands. She thought she had him kind of reeled in.
And even he's like, nope, sorry. He's like, I saw dragons. They're the real deal. And even she's like, even she doesn't want Aemon. Because she's like, Aemon's a monster.
Mm-hmm. You know what he is. You know what he's capable of. And yeah, you know, I actually really enjoyed Cole's demeanor in this episode because I felt like that was a person who saw the battlefield that we saw last episode. Like he is dealing with like almost like a PTSD shell shock thing. And he should be, because in that scene, remember the sound kind of goes real like muted and he's walking, touches, he sees the guy's ash, like that should affect him. Yeah, that should affect him. And it did. Also, Allison did one of the things that he hates the most at the end of that little argument they had at the gate. Whenever he calls her Allison, she's like, I did not give you leave to use my name, and walks away. And I could almost see like the rage in his eyes a little bit, because he does not like being reminded that he was lowborn. He's not a big fan of that. Right. So it'll be interesting to see their dynamic, if anything at all, going forward. But I really, 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 really like the way they're keeping Allison relevant in the show, because we knew they were going to. But I thought it was good enough. And look, it pushed everything along. Like, we have Criston Cole going into his new direction. Aemon is regent, right? And immediately just like, starts calling shots. Like, he kind of feels like
And I love the line at the end too, where Helena shows up. By the way, Helena again crushes every scene she's in. She's literally like
five words. It was awesome, man.
Right, five words. Was it worth the price? And you know, I was thinking about that price too. It's something we haven't brought up, and maybe we have, but I meant to bring it up actually in either the Patreon or last week's Fall Out Friday. Is Aemon, by the way, has done some kinslaying. He's now done some serious kinslaying more than once. He killed, right?
Aegon's still breathing.
No, barely. He killed Rhaenys, and he killed Luke. So he's already killed two members.
He didn't mean to.
Vhagar well, he did. Still did. Well, saying. Actually, that's something else I was thinking about, is does kinslaying affect dragons? Because Vhagar has also now killed two members of that family, because the dragons, actually, if you go and you look, there a lot of them are like parents and stuff like that. I don't know if Vhagar is the parent of what there is like a breakdown of that, and some people a lot of it's speculation and stuff like that, but still, maybe, I mean, Vhagar's got a role to play that too. They did mention, by the way, that Vhagar is weakened. They all said it. They're like, no, Vhagar took a blow from Meleys.
It was also interesting to hear Rhaenyra be like, you know, Meleys fought two dragons and basically it like almost came out of it. But then if you think about it, you know, Aemon did a lot of that work against Sunfire. So it's like, even Rhaenyra doesn't know the full true story of what happened on that battlefield.
Yeah, that's a piece of play as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I know this episode was slow, but like, I think about where the characters have just pivoted towards. And like, I think, and maybe this is where people will disagree with me. I think almost every single story is interesting. Like, I'm very, very curious.
Oh, this episode is slow, but it was necessary. And that's okay. Sometimes you have to have an episode. Like, you know, obviously, like the episode 3, which a lot of people didn't like, were like, but it's, we knew, we're like, it is all set up for like the moments we're about to see in episode 4.
Yes.
Right. Like, even you know, the conversation that Rhaenys and Corlys have in episode 3, where they kind of leave on a little bit of a skip. It seemed like they weren't on the same page and a little angry at each other. I thought that was actually gonna be the last conversation they had. And then she goes and dies. Of course, that's why we didn't try to spoil things. So that's why I felt bad on episode 3 being like, guys, there's so much spoilers here.
Sometimes we know what it's setting up.
This is set up for stuff, but it's a lot of it's set up for stuff that's going to happen like for the rest of the season, not like the immediate next episode.
Yes. And I do want to point this out, because I know a lot of people are really hard on the show and give the books all credit and everything. And listen, I'm a book first person, but we also have to recognize, go read in Fire and Blood right now. This section of Fire and Blood they are covering is awkward to make into television, because a lot of it is like going into little like tangents and fleshing out things, like right after Rhaenys dies. Like, if you read that section of Fire and Blood and you try to think about how you turn that into compelling television, it's not the easiest task. Right. in my opinion. So the stuff that they're adding in giving, you know, some of it's probably not going to flush out. Like maybe some of this Harrenhal stuff's going flush a little out. Long. Oh, God, you know,
I don't care.
I'm retiring.
I'll stop.
No, you should correct me. It's the only way I'm ever going to learn. Like I didn't have enough
security. I'll have to look up who sent it.
Who sent it? Gary? Was his name Gary? Thanks, Gary.
I can't remember it.
It's probably a Gary.
It's Sir Gary. No,
Sir
no.
Gary. My mistake. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, we had a raven that we read, and they said, "Hey, Jimmy, you keep saying it's flesh out. It's flesh out. You're an idiot." They didn't call me an idiot, actually. They were very nice. But
Sir Joe, by
Sir
the way.
Joe.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving me a complex, bro. Appreciate it.
He says he loved it. He
I already hate myself enough. I didn't need any more.
He said he loved the show. He's.
I know. I'm only kidding around. But yes. So I think, maybe the Harrenhal stuff's going a little long. You know, maybe this time it didn't.
Now I loved all the Harrenhal stuff. Damon the Builder in there.
Damon the Builder. Hey. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Okay. And by the way, now let's talk a little bit about that. And then I think we'll end with Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
So we talked a little about Alice Rivers and, you know, the things she's saying. Now, the dreams Damon is having, at first, for a quick second, I thought he was sleeping with Emma Arryn.
I did too. Okay, good.
Because she said like, "Oh, your brother," and I can't remember what the exact lines were.
I couldn't remember what the actress looked like, and I was like, "Wait, is he like?"
Right, and I was like, "Is he sleeping with like Viserys's wife there for a second?" And then it ended up being like his mom, and I was like, "Okay." Then once I got to see her a little bit more, I was like, "No, it's not." But for a brief second there, that is what I thought. And I'm glad I'm not the only one, because I think a lot of other people thought that too. He saw Lena again, right? We're getting more flashbacks with her, which is really really cool. And yeah, he's just tripping, man. He's just tripping balls. There's no other way to see it. And he keeps obviously drinking but he keeps seeing her and stuff like that. Now, he did get a little more warm to her. They were kind of having some conversations and talking about it, and she again is another champion of the small folk, even more so sort of like the women, and how like, well, the men go off and fight, and the women have to sit here and watch, you know, their husbands, and I shouldn't use those exact words, but essentially alluding to the fact that, oh, women have to go watch, you know, their husbands and sons die in a needless battle.
And it went wrong, right? Damon's plan went wrong. And then I think the viewer is supposed to maybe wonder, did Alice Rivers have like a hex with that king's blood or something where she cursed this plan? You know, I think we're supposed to kind of build that bridge right for ourselves. And she obviously also alludes to the dream that he had, you know, whenever he shockingly, you know, realizes that it's his mother that he's feeling up. And
he wasn't just feeling up. He was going down, man.
He was doing it all. He was doing the extras, right, as Kendrick Lamar once said.
He was doing the junior soprano. All right. I mean, he was.
Oh my God.
Sorry. I right now my TikTok is keeps just being like, you should rewatch the Sopranos.
So, yeah. You know, you should always rewatch the Sopranos. That's a phenomenal reference. Yeah. So I think Alice Rivers, you know, influence this episode, like, obviously, but then there's like the little things, right? Like her mentioning the fact that she knows that he thought about his mom, and then Riverlands plan's not going to plan. You know, one shot I really liked, by the way, there's two shots with Damon that I loved. Obviously the dragon one right behind the Brackens, that was cool. But when he was sitting at the table and he like looks to his left and he looks to his right, and it's almost like this like weird like,
oh yeah, too
big, and I was like, oh, he's tripping, like this is a tripping scene.
This is the other thing, and it leads into Rhaenyra. Again, they did, and they've done this with Damon and Rhaenyra multiple times. We've tried to put it where he's got his hand on the wall, right? And then it cuts to Rhaenyra, who has her hand on the wall on the opposite side. And it just reinforces this idea of like the distance between them, and almost like in a way, Rhaenyra and Damon need each other. Like they do, Rhaenyra and Damon do sort of balance each other out. When they're together.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think the show is trying to maybe put us in a position to cheer for them to get, because like once they figure that out, you know, their powers are pretty great, and they're in the corner right now, swinging for their lives. I have a question though. How do you feel about this Damon saying he's going to claim the throne and then she can rule with him? Because this is not in the book. This is a change. I mean, he never says he's going to declare himself king.
I like it just because I think it shows that's his ultimate ambition. Right. I think it's, well, it is sort of a change. It's more of an addition to the book. I don't think it's an addition that is outside of Damon's character that we're presented with in the show or the book.
Yeah.
So I'm totally fine with it. I don't feel like it's something that's like, wow, that's really different.
Yeah. I don't think it's out of character. You know, I know a lot of people really like the Damon.
Again, character. You know, there's another character in the books, by the way, like, and this is the sort of the problem with the books is that it's not like Game of Thrones where you get like direct POV chapters, you get outlines. And by the way, Damon is another character who you have this huge, massive section on, and you get like sort of his thoughts and feelings and like the things he's doing. And it's obvious he's another character that in the books, they kind of pull the focus away from, because the focus gets literally so much more on Rhaenyra and Aegon and Aemond that it's kind of like, well, Damon did this and Damon did that, but it's not nearly as detailed as it is previously.
Yeah, I don't
it's really like Damon and Alicent in the books in a way kind of fall off.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with the way Damon's being portrayed. I'm very curious to see how people feel about this moment, because there are people who just like love Damon, which you know how
he's the most popular character of the show.
But you know how I feel. I mean, I think I love him as a character. So when I say he's evil, I mean that like in a good way.
In a good way.
But like he's evil, dude.
Like, yeah, he's almost not even like an anti-hero, to be honest.
No, he's a villain. Yeah, in pretty much every respect, and he might do things
just a villain who's on the side that people.
Yeah, he's a great character to get into the head of and watch and interact with the world, because he's clearly, I mean, what would you say, is a narcissist at least, at the very least, maybe a sociopath. Who knows? But I think that this interpretation's fine. I don't have a problem with it. I am curious how the larger fandom will feel about this, because there are people who have decided that Damon is their, you know, everything. And
Daddy.
They're going to be upset. I think that he is going against, you know, Mama Rhaenyra over here. But I think it's very congruent.
I mean, I do think he does have a point, though. Like, if Rhaenyra is to win. Just the line where he says, like, if Rhaenyra wins and I'm sitting there as king, whether it's king consort or not,
who do you think
the people are going to look to? And he's right. He is right. I mean, I know Rhaenyra is the chosen heir,
but they
have kids together. No, it's what the small folk are going to do. They're already doing it. That's why they propped Aegon up.
Just kidding.
Right.
I'm just thinking of season 8 Ravens.
You know, I'm just saying that. I mean, Damon does have a point. Is that the way he feels that they would look at the king, because it's not like, you know, their heirs are together and they're Targaryen, so it's not like you have like an Emma Arryn, right, or an Alicent Hightower who is not even a Targaryen ruling.
Yeah, I think that. This kind of proves Rhaenyra's problem with him, though, and why he ended up fleeing in the first place. You know, he was trying to basically, I mean, he never defended himself very well. But this is kind of confirmation that she was right.
Yeah. Like if it were just my point real quick, if Rhaenys had actually been named queen, would people have listened to Corlys of Larion? I don't know. I don't think people would have viewed Corlys as like the king.
It's the Targaryen name is like.
Right. But it's a different scenario when it's Daemon Targaryen, who also wields Dark Sister.
Yes.
Who has a Valyrian steel sword.
But you know, and another thing to think about is that Daemon has a horrible reputation.
If Daemon is king, whether it's king, consort or whatever, it's a different story.
Yeah, I just think that maybe Rhaenyra is a better PR person, but
absolutely.
But I think over time
there would be a struggle. There'd be a power struggle for sure.
It's almost like there's no way it could ever work.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's continue on here. So let's talk about we'll kind of close up here with Rhaenyra. She's trying to make decisions. Right. She would ask people like, what would you have me do? She's feeling, you know, the way Aegon felt a little bit ago, which is I'm queen and I don't get to go do anything that actually helps people. I sit here and tell other people to go do actions for me. She's like, I need to be the one leading the charge. Mm-hmm. I should be the one going to war. And, you know, then we get a conversation with Jace at the end about the dragon seeds, which, again, I thought was going to be this whole deal. They hinted at that a little bit this episode. I mean, obviously they said that that's going to be the next week's episode, essentially. But they did hint at it a little bit here with some more dragon, with some more the small folk, right? And we've even seen some people in this season who, you know, I'm a bit of a Targaryen myself, right? Essentially. So we know they're out there. So that's, you know, that was interesting. Now, the one thing, and I actually missed it, and I'm hoping you know who it was, is Masaria and her connections. She sent, Rhaenyra sends her handmaiden. I sort of had, because I have you on a projector, there was like a glare literally on like that shot, that door. So I did not get to see who it was who answered the door. Was it, it sounded like a woman.
Yeah, I think it's the lady from the pleasure house in season one, I think.
Okay.
I think she answers the door for Aemon and Kristen Cole in episode 9. I might be wrong. I might be completely wrong about this.
All right. I'll try to pull it up here.
But I did like the Masaria stuff quite a bit. And I really liked the fact that she came in like right after we had kind of heard about, you know, the unrest in King's Landing and the blockade affecting food. And then we see Hugh and, you know, Masaria is there to say, hey, we could probably take advantage of this. And I actually liked that scene quite a bit, and that dialogue that they had, especially with the dragon skull in the back, was sick.
Okay. Yeah. I'm pulling it up here just so I can see. No. Okay. I think it is. It's hard to tell. Actually, it's really dark. I think it is the serving girl.
Is it? Okay. I might be wrong. I'm totally down to be wrong.
Yep. Totally is. That's who I thought it was, but I couldn't see because there's like a glare in the screen. So now keep her in mind.
I have an idea of where that might go.
Well, we talked about it a little bit in one of our spoiler
pictures. I love that, actually.
That might confirm that. So once again, you can go listen to that on Patreon if you want, but we'll keep it spoiler free here. So okay. Well, really that's kind of the episode. Let's pull up what Twitter is saying and what other people are saying here. But yeah, I mean, they're going to do the dragon seeds. They're going to go find people to ride the dragon. So I think next week's episode is actually going to be pretty action packed.
Man, I called it.
At least it's going to be dragon packed.
I opened up Twitter, and the first thing I see is just people very upset about Daemon.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
banging his mom, which by the way, he didn't know it was his mom. I'm just saying.
At least now he knows he was the favorite son. That's got to mean something, right?
We should be blaming Alice Rivers, not Daemon.
Yeah. If Daemon becomes king of the Seven Kingdoms, then nobody who dares to stand against him except Aemon. Well, I think Aemon would be dead at that point if Daemon is king.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like people are pretty mixed on it.
I'm seeing a lot of positive stuff. I'm literally just scrolling, but I see a lot of people showing Aegon and Viserys and making that connection, which is cool because that's one of the things that I thought about a lot about Alicent's moment at the small council with the camera soloing on her face, and then obviously seeing a bunch of stuff about how awesome Baela is because she is. She's the best.
Yeah, so according to our poll, which now has about 300 votes on YouTube, this would rank higher than episode 1 and 3. So this would be you'd have 4, 2, 5.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you think about it, like, I definitely think it's as good as episode 1, and I do, and I think it's better than episode 3. Like, I think this is a pretty good episode. Like, I'm really happy. Like, me and you just went down a bunch of rabbit holes about, like, you know, the fallout of these things and like where the characters go.
Yeah,
I mean, Kristen Cole's complete demeanor change. One, it makes sense.
Totally changed.
And two, it's very interesting. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm okay with this. I'm okay with this. And yes, I will concede that, like you said, like maybe stuff was a little quick. Maybe it's a little ambitious. But, you know, this is definitely saying, by the way, you know, that 4-season thing, like this is definitely going towards
100%. Yeah,
I would rather have it slow down than too fast, personally.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Yeah. Yeah. I see that. I see the pace they're going to go at. And I totally agree. Yeah. 4 seasons is what it's
worth. And again,
which is great because that means we're getting an entire new season. But, you know, nothing has been, only season 3 has been greenlit because HBO well, unfortunately, Warner Brothers makes them do it that way. So, but yeah. So, yeah, I'm looking here to see what other people are saying.
Let's not forget that Cheese's dog was still following his corpse, and it literally makes me
so by the way,
every time.
By the way, Cheese's dog, okay? That dog is the same dog. I saw this Twitter post about it. I don't know if I mentioned this or not. It was the dog that's in Cruella, the movie Cruella.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
The Cruella movie? It's got, what's her name? Emma Stone? No.
Oh.
The Cruella, the movie, the Disney movie about Cruella de Vil. It's like 101 Dalmatians prequel movie. Anyway,
if it's Westeros, I don't know about it, bro.
Now, anyway, the dog is in that movie. So it's like, it's not just like, sometimes it's like you know, I mean, this dog's a celebrity, man.
He is getting paid. I imagine that owner is.
Yeah, he's a rescue. He's a rescue dog, and he got turned into an actor. I think it's a male. Yeah. So, and yeah, shout out to the dog. I think I looked it up, and I remember I can't remember the dog's name.
Most famous dog since Air Bud, I would say.
Whoa, buddy.
Okay.
let's not get ahead of ourselves here. All right. Air Bud follows me on Twitter. So, all right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Cause I tweet. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't think, you know, golden receiver. Okay.
Great movie.
What are all the Air Bud titles? I don't know. Seventh inning fetch, something like that. You know,
I think I only watched the first two and then I kind of checked out.
Well, anywho. Yeah. So let's see here. Was it worth the price? Seeing what everyone's saying about House of the Dragon. Yeah. I mean, it feels pretty favorable. Obviously not as big as last week.
Yeah. I think more people tune in and we're going to see a lot more opinions kind of float in during the week. And then, you know, obviously follow up Friday, we'll be able to kind of see what our listeners thought about as you guys send us your ratings and leave comments on YouTube and wherever else you can. I heard Spotify, by the way, for podcasts, just turn on comments. Pretty cool.
Oh, pretty cool.
Yeah. You can comment on podcasts now on Spotify.
That's great.
Yeah.
We don't really do that well on Spotify. We're
Apple boys on this side.
Yeah. Apparently. Yeah. Like 90% of our downloads come from Apple. So, and apparently a lot of them come from Uganda. So shout out
to Uganda.
Uganda. All right. I mean, there's other countries that listen to, of course, obviously, but that's, we're like number one. So
some would say all the countries.
They might. Okay. Yes. I mean, I'm just looking here. It doesn't, yeah, again, it doesn't feel as hyped as last week, but people seem like to be generally pretty excited about it, everything. Let's see. To me, I took this scene as the townspeople saw that they can take on the dragons, which led to, you know, which will lead to an event later, of course, mm-hmm. and some other things. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it might be that maybe the dragons aren't as powerful as the people think.
We are starting to see a lot of things laid down that's going to go to the end of this episode, end of the season, but also next season. And there's some things we could consider that might end up being changed. And I think a couple of those threads were laid down and we'll see how we feel about them once they're actually executed upon. But I do think some changes are coming from what we know from Fire and Blood.
Yeah. Pretty Hugh cool. Hammer says it's just meat. That line right there is a bad omen in and of itself. The Targaryens have been exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even Maegor the Cruel would have never allowed such a deplorable act. What Sir Criston Cole did only weakened Aegon's hold on the throne.
Yeah, and you know, we also have Allison's brother saying, "Was it a victory?" Or what do you say? It's kind of a weird victory, isn't it? Is what he said.
Yeah,
like, yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah. So, woo. All right. Well, hey, that is our episode for this week, Jimmy. You know, yeah, it's kind of a reset episode, of course.
Yes, I'm very curious to see, you know, the ravens from everyone, but specifically people who are not book people. Yeah. And just because like sometimes I feel like a little bit of the development can be lost on me because I kind of know where it all ends up leading. I say that they're changing stuff, which is fine. But I'm very curious to see what the show only people have to say about this one.
We only have three episodes left. So I expect this to be the slowest episode. Like it's only going to get. I expect the action to ramp up and ramp up and ramp up.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
Yeah, so. All right. Well, hey, by the way, Jimmy is out for Follow-Up Friday this week. So
unfortunately.
I gotta decide what I want to do this week, if I'm just going to do a Follow-Up Friday, or maybe I might just do a live stream. Haven't done one of those this season. Okay. Maybe
that'd be cool. Then you'd release it as you'd release it as the podcast. That could be cool.
Yeah. So that way you can get some people's thoughts and ideas. So I'm tossing that idea around. Let me know. You can send a message on Facebook. And we do have a Facebook group, by the way. I know we have a lot of people who just listen to the podcast, but there's a lot of people over there chatting, doing discussion threads and everything. Mm-hmm. So you can certainly take part of that as well. And again, shout out to all the new patrons we've got. We've got a ton of new patron members. And by the way, also, there's like 100 and some episodes over there.
Yeah. Which
you do get access to, by the way. Once you become a patron member, you do get access to like all of the episodes. It's not just like the most recent one we did or whatever, which I kind of forget. I always forget about. But yeah, we've had a lot of people sign up. So kudos to you guys. Really appreciate it. And
big backlog over there.
Yeah. Hope you guys are enjoying that stuff over there on Patreon. So with that, we want to thank you guys for playing the Game of Thrones. In our next episode, we will be discussing House of the Dragon, Season 2, Episode 6.
And if you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write a review, or leave a comment, or send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com or bendtheknee@podcast.com.
We will see you next time. And remember that winter is coming.